Talking today with Steve Arett from Plains Cotton Growers. Steve, let's talk a little bit first about this this crop. We're starting to move on the harvest, even into the South Plains. What are you hearing from your producers?
Everyone is being, for the most part, being pleasantly surprised, Ron. The year is always, it's kind of up and down when you start. Maybe a little too dry at the beginning. Then you get going. Spring can be a little rough. Rains are not always as timely as what you'd like them to be, but we've definitely benefited from the moisture we had last winter. We went into this crop full wet. We didn't get the kind of rain we needed during the summer, July and that August rain, but the moisture in the soil carried us through, and this crop is doing at least as well or better than what a lot of folks thought it would.
Seems like we've seen in the state of Oklahoma, we've seen some acres continue to roll back into cotton, and a lot of our farmers have been pretty happy with that decision.
Yeah, we're going to see, and especially, as you know, in the Lubbock area, Lubbock South is predominantly cotton. It doesn't change a whole lot. You'll see a little bit of fluctuation maybe based upon peanuts and some things, but certainly in our northern panhandle, north of Amarillo, that's a relatively new cotton-growing region. They've been growing cotton there consistently for the last 10 years. Most definitely we'll be seeing an increase in cotton acres in those areas. And that's two things. Farmers, many times their most recent experience is what they remember and the most, and they're harvesting a phenomenal crop in the northern high plains of north of Amarillo. So, and with what's happening, unfortunately, to other prices of commodities of going down, cotton looks attractive. So we think we'll see a 10% increase in that area probably anyway. But who knows, a lot can happen between now and next May.
Indeed. Let's talk a little bit about some of the policy things. I know that cotton industry continues to try to figure out where to go regarding a reliable safety net. It seems that at the end of the day, the way this 2014 bill was written, not much help.
It wasn't, and everyone knows that cotton was treated differently for a number of reasons, but mainly to try to do something to address the WTO case that had been in the works for a long time. Cotton basically ended up with an insurance product, a county-based insurance product that is well designed, but it's not bankable. You can't take it to your banker and say, hey, if cotton prices in this year fall out of bed, I'm going to get something. That's not the case, as it is with the Title I programs like PLC for sure, that's strictly price-based. So we got to do something to try to address that. The latest effort, we've been talking about it for well over a year. And that's, adding cottonseed as an other oil seed for purposes of Title I. Many of folks, most of your listeners, understand that cotton produces two important co-products, cottonseed and cotton lint. Cottonseed's a very valuable oil seed. And so we're looking at ways to maybe base it upon cottonseed, but whether that will be a long-term solution or not, cotton needs to be considered like it always has been as a lint and base it on that. But we're looking for any opportunity we can right now to provide some relief for cotton producers as we finish up this farm bill.
Now that we got in quite a discussion between USDA and our House and Senate ag leadership over that cotton seed designation.
Yeah, the industry certainly believed that the authority was there in the farm bill, that the secretary had the authority to designate other oil seeds other than those listed, in the original legislation back in 2002. But the secretary saw it differently. But the USDA did provide some very needed relief through the Jennings cost share assistance. But, that was a one-time deal. And things have not changed significantly since then. Still significant economic challenges in all of agriculture, but certainly cotton. And so that's what we're going to try to address as soon as we can.
if you start thinking strategically, if you look out at the 17 and beyond, what are some things that the industry at the South Plains, the Southwest cotton industry, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, that you serve, what needs to be happening? In other words, where does Plains cotton need to be headed?
Well, I think, you know, there's some things we can do and a lot of things that somewhat out of our control. But, you know, one of the things we talk about constantly, and certainly, you know, our research and promotion organizations, Cotton Incorporated and the Cotton Board, you know, are working, trying to find some way to overcome some of this demand issue that we have. You know, it's one thing that the cotton producers have to compete against in a world market against highly subsidized, government subsidized producers like China and the way they control them. But it's even more pronounced when you talk about on the textile end and the synthetic production, that the overproduction of synthetics and highly subsidized. You know, it makes it very difficult for cotton to compete in that regard. And so we got to continue to find ways. You know, it's amazing to me in the era we live, where everybody talks about, you know, sustainable and natural and all this, that at the same time we have a public that doesn't understand the difference in natural fibers like cotton, but's more than willing to put clothing on that's made from gasoline. You know, somehow we need to try. We need to do a better job or somehow conveying that, because if you're looking at what you can do to help be a part of a sustainable world, we need to be looking at how we're going to use more natural fibers than we are on synthetics that are made from petroleum, basically. So, I'm confident we will address those, and we're going to keep working on that, but they're significant. And then just other issues out on the farm, certainly this resistant weed problem is going to continue to plague us for quite some time until some technologies can be, and we're never going to have that silver bullet, but it's just going to be a challenge going forward.